The founder of Precious Life, Bernie Smith, has been found guilty of harassing Mary Stopes director Dawn Purvis. The anti-abortion campaigner has been warned she could face a jail sentence. The case centred around protests at Mary Stopes. It's the first private clinic to offer early medical abortions to women in Northern Ireland. Dawn Purvis said she had been frightened for her safety following two incidents. Now, the question we're asking this morning is, should the pickets at Mary Stopes and similar organisations be halted or at least seriously restricted? Or would that interfere with the right to protest? 08459 555 678. Well, last year Bernie Smith and Jane Ewart clashed on the Nolan TV show about the treatment of women who were attending places like Mary Stopes.
I don't know any protester counsellor who would shout into anybody's face.
If it happens, would
and
you condemn
it? I obviously wasn't there that day, Stephen.
Well, I was. And see, this lady that was actually...
Can I answer?
Let's let her answer.
And I, as a pro-life campaigner, oppose all violence, oppose all harassment. I am in favour of helping and supporting. And I can only imagine, from listening to Sarah's story, that whoever was reaching out to her that day...
Reaching
out with love...
As a matter of fact, she was so much in my face, right up in my face. If there was an identity parade, I could pick her out. I was going to turn round to them and say, you don't know my daughter's circumstances. This is a medical condition, and it's taken a lot for us to come down here and do this, and you're standing here giving us abuse.
Doing what to you?
Do you realise what you're doing to your daughter? She'll remember this for the rest... As if it's not hard enough. Do you realise what you're doing this to your daughter? She'll remember this for the rest of your life. Shouting in abuse to the car. Don't do this to your baby. There's other options. Let us talk to you. And I thought, oh, would you just please go away? I just want this day to be over.
Well, no, I wouldn't see that as abuse. I would see that as someone reaching out.
Well, I would hate to see what your aftercare is if you don't see that as abuse.
I'm only listening to what you're saying.
If you don't see that as abuse, I would hate to think what your care is all about. I really would, and I wouldn't be darkening your doorstep.
But I wasn't there, so I cannot speak on behalf of that case. I wasn't there.
Sorry, hold on a minute. None of us watching this tonight needed to have been there. You've had a scenario explained to you. This is very important because you do represent some people who protest, and we do not know whether these people were aligned to your group or not. But it is a very, very genuine and also an important question. Well, you've just said you support that type of behaviour.
I just said I'm opposed to all violence.
But you would consider
what I'm in favour of is helping a mother.
Let me put the point to you. You would consider what has been described to you tonight as reaching out, not abuse.
Absolutely.
Screaming into a lady's face.
I didn't say I was in favour. I said I was opposed to all violence, all harassment, but I would be in favour of reaching out to any mother in crisis with love and support.
And whoever did what they did to this lady's daughter, that was fair and it was reaching out, was it?
I don't agree with any form of
violence.
What was
described to you,
Bernie? I don't agree with any attack
on
any other woman. For what was described there, and is, as you just stated very clearly, that she said that there is another way, there is help available.
That was Jane Christie there discussing the... Jane Christie, who's Sarah Ewart's mother, discussing on the Nolan TV show with Bernie Smith the whole subject. I want to get your views this morning, even on what you're about to hear. We're going to have a discussion of our own. Peter Linus from the Evangelical Alliance with us, along with Audrey Simpson from the Family Planning Association. Peter Linus, if I could start with you. I mean, picking up on the back of that discussion, I mean, what you heard described in terms of what Jane Christie faced, I mean, is that acceptable? Is that an acceptable level of protest?
No, not for, that's certainly not our way of engaging. And Joel, I think the context is important. There'll be over 500 babies aborted in Great Britain today, and there is a push to change the law here. And obviously it's in the context of that right now that we're speaking, and we're wanting to hold parties to pledges they made around not changing the abortion law. And I understand and I do respect the right to peaceful protest, but we as an organisation, like many of the other pro-life groups, don't feel it's appropriate to stand outside a clinic for us. I'm not saying that it's not the law allows that, but that's not the way we want to engage. We're very actively supporting those who are on a crisis pregnancy counselling programme, so we want to reach out and engage with people at that stage. We don't support standing outside clinics. That's not our way of operating, and it's not something we want to do. But there are details. I mean, I think the case is being appealed, and there are details of the case that I'm certainly not fully aware of. It ran for some time. so I don't know all the facts, but that's not our way. What we do want to do is engage. This is a very difficult situation that women find themselves in. It's a moment where compassion is necessary, and we would much rather do that privately, journey with people who are seeking counselling, and stand outside and protest. That's not the way many of the groups want to operate in this space.
So you think it's time for the protest to end?
People have that right. That's not our way. I don't think it's helping the cause. I want to see the law on abortion here in Northern Ireland kept in a balanced way as it is currently. And there is the ability for an abortion in very, very limited circumstances where there's a threat to the life of the mother. I think that's appropriate. We've seen 90,000 lives saved over the course of since the 67 Act passed here in Northern Ireland. I think that's the right way to go, and we've done that by lobbying MLAs, by engaging the public, and by offering great support for those who are going through these situations. And we work with Brooke and with others. There are a number of crisis pregnancy counselling centres who work with us and do post-abortion counselling as well. I think that's really important, and that's where we need to be. That's the compassionate place to be. So it's not our way to engage in that kind of frontline protest. I don't think that overall helps the case.
So you're saying you support people's right to protest, but you don't think this kind of protest is helpful to the cause that you would advocate?
Exactly, yeah. Legally, you're entitled to. People have the right to their opinions. I've always supported that, and the right to protest peacefully, and the law has boundaries on that, and the law has found in this case they've been crossed. But I don't think it works in this case. We have found it's much better to come alongside people, to make the arguments into the public square, and then to be compassionate to those who are actually in the situation. So while I respect the right, I don't think it's the wisest way to operate in this situation. These are people who are very vulnerable, making very difficult decisions, and it's much better to come alongside, journey with them, counsel, engage, hear what they have to say, and journey with them one-on-one in that way.
Yeah, because you heard Jane Christie and describing almost, you know, this idea of running the gauntlet of verbal abuse. And then, you know, the Bernie Smith saying that she described that as reaching out. I mean, listening to what you did here, I mean, is that something you would describe as reaching out?
No, we've met with Sarah and her mother in the course of what's going on, this push to change the law in Northern Ireland. And, you know, we're one of the many groups trying to resist that. And so that's not something, as I said, we are actively engaged with those who are running these crisis pregnancy counselling. And that's much more. Those are sort of private venues set away off the street where somebody can come, they can phone, they can make an appointment, they can come and meet somebody who's got expertise in this area in terms of counselling and talking about the various options. And again, post-abortion counselling as well. And that's much more a quiet space in which to engage with somebody in a private area. So that to me is much more what we need to be doing.
So would you offer
a much better service.
Would you go as far as to say that when you hear stories of what has happened to some of these women and what they have experienced when they've been attending the clinic and the protest has been there, would you go as far as to say that it frustrates you in that you see it as perhaps setting back your cause and making it more difficult to make your argument because of this, I don't know if you would describe it as a tactic by these protesters?
Well, there's lots of things that frustrate us. I mean, it frustrates me that Mary Stopes are operating as a private clinic, making a great deal of money now that they're a non-profit organisation.
But does it make it more difficult for you to get your message across because of these protests?
So we want to engage. I mean, there's an industry that's been set up, and different people want to approach that in different ways. That's not my way to engage, and it's not the way of many of our constituency. We have a different way of engaging, and that's our approach to this, to say we're engaging differently. We're engaging with MLAs privately, and we're making sure that there's great support services in play. There's no point in saying, I don't want you to do this, without making sure there's an alternative and there are great support services available. So we've been lobbying the Health Minister, particularly on, for example, even with lethal feeding abnormalities, the current part of the debate, to say we need to have clear care pathways in place for those who are going through very traumatic and difficult pregnancies.
But given you've outlined that the alternative approach that you do have, would you go as far as to say to the protesters, I don't want you to do this?
The issue there, Joel, is this freedom to protest, and I'm in a whole range of areas. I don't want to tell other people what.
No, I know, but I mean, from your own position of how difficult it then makes it for you, you know, if people are looking at it and viewing you all as one big group who are anti-abortion.
And we had that debate this morning. Is this a debate we want to be a part of? And part of that is to say there are a range of groups out there and they have different perspectives. And so I've given a clear articulation of our perspective, which is that's not what we want to be doing in the public square. We want to be arguing and engaging in civilised debate, and also making sure there's an alternative pathway available. Different people will approach that in different ways, and I understand that, and I understand some of the frustrations of those who are engaged at the way Mary Stopes and others are operating, and the way there is this drive to change the law. And there is a concerted effort here to try and have the law changed around abortion and to open up the floodgates, and we don't want to see that.
Yeah, but you would accept that is to change the law in a small way. I mean, it's not to change it and make it on a par with the rest of the United Kingdom.
No, that is, if Audrey says that she has no desire to see a change in the law, anything like the 67 Act, that would be really helpful to have that on record. There are a number of groups who do want to see this as a stepping stone to a much wider change in the law. And that's something we've got to be really careful about. This is an attempt to start to change the law wholesale, but it's a small step on the road to something much bigger. And that's why we're so concerned about this particular suggestion.
Well, Audrey Simpson from the Family Planning Association, do you want to respond to that initially, first of all?
Well, first of all, Joe, I'd like to ask Peter, when he says there's great support services out there, does he include FPA in that?
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
Okay, we've spent 20 years, Peter, supporting women with an unplanned and crisis pregnancy. We have experienced 15 years of harassment of our staff and our clients. So whenever you say there's great support service out there for women, we provide an excellent service for women. Are you including FPA in that? And would you refer women to our service?
Well, Audrey, I think you probably know on the ground, certainly within Corian, where I'm based at the Brook Clinic within Corian, and the Corian Crisis Centre, which has recently had to shut down for various reasons, those two have met together and have worked together. So I have no problem with that. My wife is one of the counsellors within that space, and they work together. That's exactly what should happen on the ground.
So you would refer women to our service in FPA, not Brook. In FPA. Brook doesn't work around abortion.
The two organisations do work on the ground together in Corian, and that's something we've encouraged.
No,
so that's a very practical answer to your question. Audrey, you haven't answered the question that I asked first.
Yeah, no, but first
do you want to see any change in the law?
We need to be clear. Brook in Corian does not do any counselling around abortion. But we do counselling for an unplanned pregnancy. So we are a very good service. Our counsellors are well qualified. We are a pro-choice organisation. We're not pro-abortion. So if you want to have women to have good services and good support and post-abortion counselling, would you refer women to our service? And then if you answer that, I'll answer the other question.
Joel, I mean, you're running the interview.
The point that we'd make is, he has answered the question in the way that he wants to answer it. You know, it's a bit sort of, if you answer my question, I'll answer yours. I mean, would you support a change in the law, Audrey? I mean,
of course we are. We're a pro-choice organisation. We believe that women are no different from women in the rest of the world. Northern Ireland is one of the few countries left in the world that's got really restrictive abortion laws in place. So, of course, FPA actively campaigns for a change in the law because we want women to exercise their reproductive rights.
So you want to see parity with what happens in the rest of the United Kingdom?
We want women to have equal rights. They're paying the same taxes as they are. The very first step could be that if they go to Britain, that at least they don't have to pay for the operation. You know, why, if they pay the same taxes and into the National Health Service, why are they forced to pay between £600 and £2,000 for a healthcare procedure that's free to women in the rest of the UK? And that this issue has been highlighted by different European human rights bodies. I mean, this isn't just me saying this. This is recognised internationally. It's an equality issue. Even the Equality Commission has come out and made statements about that as an equality issue.
Well, there are no legal challenges coming from the Equality Commission.
No, there's no legal challenges coming from the Equality Commission, but there are legal challenges potentially that could come from human rights bodies. And the point about it is, Peter, is that it is, you know, very disrespectful to women to say that if you change the law that you're opening the floodgate to abortions. That's as if to say that women make that decision very lightly, and they don't. They take long, most the majority of women that we've ever worked with have taken a long time to come to that decision. And some of them who come to our service don't even go ahead with the abortion. Because Bernie Smith and Precious Life aren't anti-abortion. They're anti-choice. They do not want women to have to be able to make a choice. And we have to respect women's right to make a choice.
Audrey, if we could go back to this issue of harassment and what we're trying to say this morning, you know, does this take us to a point where, you know, the protests should stop, or do people still have a right to protest, and when does it cross the line from protest to harassment? I mean, in terms of your own experience with protests against with your work in the Family Planning Association, what experience have you got of this?
15 years. We have experienced, our staff have experienced it, I have experienced it, and but more importantly, our clients have experienced
it. What sort of things are we talking about?
Oh, being shouted, being followed down the street. Now, can I just tell you that sometimes the women aren't even pregnant. Being followed down the street shouting, you're going to murder your baby, or that's, you're going to murder your grandchild, following to taxis, throwing leaflets into taxis at them, saying to my staff, you should be ashamed of yourself working there. I've had letters saying that I'm going to go to hell, and I've been told into my face that I'm going to go to hell, and which I find really strange that outside the court yesterday, Bernie Smith's solicitor described the verdict as a disappointment for Christians worldwide. Well, to be perfectly honest, any Christian I've ever met has totally and utterly condemned what Precious Life do to women.
And in terms of acceptable levels of protest, I mean, do you acknowledge that there is an acceptable level of protest?
Yes, I would absolutely respect somebody's right to protest. They have a right to stand outside the building, not block the entrance as they do. I mean, about once every couple of weeks, I have to go down and say, please stand away from the entrance to the building. They don't have a right to block the building. They don't have a right to ask anybody why they're coming into the building. And they don't have a right to stop somebody coming out. They can stand there and hand out a leaflet, and if somebody wants to take the leaflet, that is their right to take it, just as they have a right to say, actually, I don't want your leaflet. But about 6 weeks ago, I had a colleague from Brussels over to meet with me. She was 6 months pregnant, and as she was leaving the building, they followed her down the street, shouting at her. And this is a woman from Brussels who couldn't believe that this was actually happening. What's really important to point out that this happens virtually on a daily basis. This is not an isolated case that has happened against Dawn Purvis. This is happening fairly regularly on a daily basis. We've had the people in our building, the other offices in our building, they actually put a letter into the Belfast Telegraph because their clients coming in for meetings to be interviewed for jobs, if they're young, female, and of reproductive age, they get harassed.
Do you think what has happened yesterday will make any difference?
Well, I think it's thrown up a lot of questions about what's happened yesterday. You know, who is Bernie Smith responsible to? I'm responsible to a board of trustees and a chair of trustees. My staff are responsible to me. Who is she responsible to? I don't know. I don't know how their organisation runs. Do they have a board of trustees? I suspect not.
But in terms of the wider issue, in terms of how people protest, do you think it will make any difference in terms of where people perhaps see that there is a line that should not be crossed?
Well, I think that the judge sent out a very strong, clear message that this behaviour is unacceptable. It's even unacceptable to women walking down the street. Because if you walk down the street, and I don't know whether Peter agrees with posters being set outside in the street showing distorted pictures of aborted fetuses, but, you know, there's women walking down the street who may have had a miscarriage the week before, who may have just been told they're pregnant, but there may be a problem with the pregnancy, or they may have lost a child. And to have to walk down the street and see those posters, to me that is totally inhumane, and it certainly isn't Christian.
Peter?
Yeah, well, I think Audrey and I have discussed this matter a number of times in general terms. I think Audrey's well aware of where our organisation stand. We're not protesting. We're not supporting that. We are trying to make sure there's not a change in the law. I think it's really important that we had that clarity at the start, that Audrey does wish to see essentially something close to the 67 Act in play here in Northern Ireland. And that is why it's such an important time around the overall debate in abortion. And subject to what happens on appeal, you know, this case has gone through its first round at the Magistrates Court. I've made it very clear that I don't support the kind of actions that are going on there. That's not something we want to see here in terms of the space around this debate, because there is a much larger and key debate. 500 babies being aborted today in GB. I don't want to see that being replicated here in Northern Ireland. I think that's a tragedy. 190,000 babies are terminated every year in Great Britain. It would be a tragedy if that's brought here to Northern Ireland. And so the reason I'm on here even speaking about this is because I don't think that's a great tactic in terms of trying to win the population at large about the actual underlying debate. should we or should we or not protect the unborn child? Not, you know, and I think it's absolutely critical. These are the most vulnerable people in society. Nobody else is giving them a voice. And of course, we limit all sorts of choices and rights of what you can do with your body. I can't just walk across the room and hit somebody else, strike somebody else. We make all sorts of limitations because there are two sets of rights at play here. And there is the right of the unborn child. And it's critical that we look at that in this debate around abortion.
Yes.
That this doesn't become a sideshow or a tangent around this case, which is subject to appeal and all sorts of things may happen. I can't make it any clearer. I don't support what they were doing on the street. We're not in favour of protesting, but we do think the underlying argument is much, much bigger and much more significant than one person in this case.
And in that statement that was made yesterday on behalf of Bernie Smith, when it was said, you know, this is a disappointment for Christians throughout the world, that verdict yesterday, you would distance yourself from that, would you?
Well, there's much more significant cases. The Ashers Bakery case is much more interesting in terms of the attempt to curtail the right to express religion and freedom of all sorts of conscience and belief within a workplace. That seems to me to be much more significant. We have a clear right to protest. It is defined. Harassment laws are very clear. It's not some new law. It's not some extension of the law that happened yesterday. Whether or not on the facts Bernie Smith was guilty of that, I don't know. I wasn't in court. I haven't heard all the evidence. But the judge has decided that, and then we'll see what happens on an appeal. But quite rightly, we have those laws to limit protesters that move into harassment. There should be space to protest, and there is. There should be a limitation when that comes into harassment, and there is, quite rightly, and the law is acted appropriately. What I don't want to see is a change in the law around abortion.
The other thing I want to mention at this point is that there's an all-party pro-life group at Stormont made up of the SDLP, the DUP, the TUV, the Ulster Unionist Party, and Alliance. The point of contact is Bernie Smith. We've asked all of those who are on the group to come on the show today. The DUP have said no, but they'll send us a line of comment. The SDLP say they've no comment to make. Jim Allister didn't get back to us. The Ulster Unionist Party haven't come back to us, and the Alliance Party haven't managed to come back to us either. Sinn Féin, who aren't on the group, say they've no comment to make, as Bernie Smith hasn't been sentenced yet. Is that surprising to you, Audrey? Do you feel like they should be coming back, or is that their position fair enough? What do you think?
Well, I mean, obviously they can choose whatever that they want to say, but I mean, I think it's very interesting at the SDLP conference at the weekend that the Belfast Telegraph did a poll of participants and find that there was the bigger proportion of them wanted to see a change in the law. I mean, I think that it's quite clear that the myth that's gone round for some time that there is no will for change at the Assembly is well and truly a myth.
We're up against the clock here, but one final point maybe, Audrey, just, I mean, what do you feel about the police and their strategy in this in terms of dealing with the protests and whenever it's felt that they do overstep the line?
I mean, we've had over the years, we've had really good support from some police officers and other police officers who are clearly uncomfortable with the issues, try not to get involved in it. But, I mean, we have had good support from PSNI. But, of course, their hands are tied because they take statements, which they have done over the years, many statements from our office, and it goes up further up the line, and that's where it has seemed it has blocked for so many years. But at least that block seems to have now been removed.
OK.
Well, I think in terms of the parties, I mean, the SDLP and others do have manifesto pledges in terms of this. Many of them have made comment on this. And we would want to be, so that it's not just what the people who've gone to party conferences think, it's what they stood on and what people voted for them on. And so at the minute, a number of them are committed not to change the law, and we hope that they hold to those commitments. And if they want to change that going forward into an election, then they're open to do that. But actually, the polling consistently shows that there's not big appetite for a wholesale change in the law in Northern Ireland. And so I hope those parties stick to the pledges that they did make.
Because
in terms of a wholesale change that Audrey wants to see the 67 Act brought in wholesale in Northern Ireland, and there's no appetite for that.
Well, actually, Amnesty International's poll, which was done about 3 weeks ago, totally dispels that myth.
I want to talk to Huey this morning. Huey's called the programme. Morning, Huey.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm good. And I suppose at the top of the programme you said sort of cite this case affect people's right to protest.
Yes.
I think that the people's right to protest should be enshrined and protected in the law. And that's the key issue. When people cross the line and break the law, then their behaviour should be test
It's more down to how they protest.
Well, if they protest in a way that is offensive, is intimidatory, actually assaults. Because if I understand if you touch someone and invade the person's space, you've assaulted them. So they've broken the law. And I think you could take this out into wider, into other contexts where protest about flying, about lock and roll, all of those sort of things. Where I think the line in the sand is, have they broken the law?
Okay, Huey, sorry, we're going to let you go because your line's just sort of breaking up there, and we're coming up to the news. Important to come back as well when we're talking about the police. We have asked the police in terms of their strategy for stopping harassment of people attending places like Murray Stopes. They say that the PSNI has an obligation to facilitate peaceful protests in line with European Convention on Human Rights, Article 10, Freedom of Expression, and Article 11, Freedom of Peaceful Assembly. We also have a duty to uphold the law, and if we receive a complaint of harassment at any protest, we will investigate accordingly. Thank you very much this morning to both of you.